Let's move to Scott Ritter. Mr. Ritter, I'm glad to see you here in St. Petersburg. Bearing in mind the difficulties you faced previous years, I'm very pleased to welcome you here. And you're well known in Russia and to our audience as a frequent guest on the Russian TV programs, and where you often share your deep insights into contemporary geopolitics. Given your experience as a former inspector for the INF Treaty implementation and a member of the United Nations Commission overseeing the disarmament of the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, how do you think, could you please share your vision of the current state of global security and why is preventive diplomacy is not working to its full potential? What factors are undermining strategic stability today?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me here, and it is a pleasure to be here. 2 years ago, I tried to come here, and my government took my passport to prevent me from coming here. 2 months later, 40 FBI agents raided my home, took all my electronics. They didn't just take my electronics, they took my history, they took my archive. And this is important, because when we speak of what we're talking about here, you know, this is war we're talking about. It's not arms control. It's not disarmament. It's not an arms race. The consequences of failure is war, and war means death. This is literally an issue of life and death. So I'm proud to be here, because what I'll be talking about in a minute is what are the issues? I'm not a philosopher. I really enjoyed listening to you, and I'm intimidated because you bring up concepts of higher thinking. I'm a simple Marine. I operate at the most basic level in life. But there is right and there is wrong. When we speak of diplomacy, we hear terms like realpolitik, idealpolitik, national interests. So these are all things I learned studying Henry Kissinger and reading his book, Diplomacy. I'm not a diplomat, not in the traditional way, but I am a people diplomat. I do people-to-people diplomacy. And the fact that I'm here means that people-to-people diplomacy is winning, because if we were losing, I wouldn't be here. If we were losing, I'd be back at home, because they would have won. But they're not going to win, because there are causes, there are beliefs that are more important than war. And those are causes of peace and life and the appreciation of the same. I was a weapons inspector in the Soviet Union with the Intermediate Nuclear Forces Treaty. This, in my opinion, was the height of diplomacy. Because what was the INF Treaty? At a time when you had American realpolitik, European idealpolitik, Soviet national interests coming together in a confluence of interests, deciding that we would not allow nuclear weapons to define our future, that we would take matters into our own hands and eliminate these weapons that threatened not just Europe, but all of the world. Existential survival. Diplomacy works. I know, I lived it. Not as a diplomat, but as an implementer of the policies. Later on, I was a weapons inspector in Iraq. When we started our work in Iraq, we tried to model our work on the same procedures that we developed with the INF Treaty, the same concepts. But the thing about the INF Treaty is that the United States and the Soviet Union agreed on objectives. It was a mutually beneficial relationship. But when we spoke about Iraq, there was nothing mutually beneficial about it. It should have been the epitome of multilateralism, because it was the Security Council of the United Nations that came together in a Chapter 7 resolution, 687, unanimously to decide that Iraq, as long as it possessed weapons of mass destruction, represented a threat to international peace and security, and we would come together to oversee the disarmament. But what I learned as a weapons inspector, that it was never about disarmament, that there was one nation that had a different objective, and that nation was my nation, the United States. We weren't seeking disarmament, we weren't seeking stability. We were seeking to remove Saddam Hussein from power using disarmament as a vehicle to excuse that objective. We didn't want to be honest about what we were trying to achieve. And this began to slide away from, because we're talking about arms control, we're talking about arms race and diplomacy and how it can relate. This was the death of diplomacy when it comes to arms control, because what happened is the concept of You know, arms control to me is the ultimate expression of human rationality. Think about it. It means that humans are intelligent enough to understand the value of life and the risks that weapons of mass destruction have, and we have a moral compass that guides us to do something about it. And yet, with Iraq, we forgot that. We threw it out the window. It became only about the American hegemon. It became about America's selfish interests above that of the entire world. Now we fast forward to the moment, today. There is no arms control. It's one of the saddest things of my life. I've watched everything I work for as an adult disappear. There is no more arms control. There are no more arms control treaties between the United States and Russia. There is no multilateralism taking place for disarmament. And the consequences are dire because today we see a new nuclear arms race, including intermediate range weapons that we got rid of. We've gone backwards, not forwards. It's a more dangerous world today than it was. And there is no diplomacy taking place today. None. Not in that important field. And this is a failure of everybody, because again, when we speak of human rationality, it's not just American rationality, it's Russian rationality. Why did Russia abandon arms control? Because it wasn't working? Okay. It wasn't working. Make it work. Don't give up on it, because the consequences of giving up on arms control is death. And that's the ultimate expression of failure. So where do we go from here? It's very difficult when we speak of diplomacy, because the United States no longer functions as a rational entity, and Europe is simply an extension of the United States. There, I agree with you. There is no such thing as Europe. Europe doesn't exist. It's a falsehood. And yet today, Europe is trying to separate itself from the United States. So the subordinate is trying to separate itself from the master, not knowing who and what it is. When I spoke about the ultimate expression of human rationality, the United States today, there is no intellectual foundation for the United States. We do not cherish life. We do not value life. Look at how we behave. We go to war against anybody at the drop of a hat. We have no moral compass. We're only about the accumulation of power, but at least we stand for something. Europe stands for nothing. Europe is just floating there, doing nothing, being nothing, but causing all sorts of trouble. Why? Because the United States, there is hope. When we speak of the future, and this is where diplomacy comes to hand. Human rationality, the intelligence to understand the value of life. Today, America is in transition. We were the global hegemon. We're trying to work what a multilateral world will be and how we will relate to it. But the fact of the matter is, ultimately, what makes an American? The foundation is the Constitution of the United States of America, a body of law that defines who we are and what we are as a people, principled values. And ultimately, that is what Americans will fall back on. We will once again relearn the value of human life. We will once again learn the value of humanity, and we will correct our course. And we will find our moral compass, and we will work towards disarmament, because we did it before, and we can do it again. Europe is hopeless. Europe is hopeless. Europe has no foundation. What does Europe stand for? What is their constitution? What are their values? And there are none. Zero. And yet now, as they seek to redefine themselves, they go backwards. Germany is becoming literally an expression of its Nazi past. And it's seeking to rearm, and it's seeking to become violent. And this is the most dangerous aspect, because how do you deal with this irrationality? There is no moral compass. There is no foundation of intellectualism. It's simply nihilistic behavior, and there's only one solution to people who behave this way. You quoted Alice in Wonderland. I'll quote To Kill a Mockingbird. Yeah. Not quote, but I'll speak about it. The lawyer, a brave man, a lawyer, esteemed scholar. There's a rabid dog in the streets, and they call upon the one man who knows how to shoot. He fought in a war. They give him the rifle, and he shoots the rabid dog, because sometimes that's the only solution. Today, Europe is a rabid dog, and it needs to be shot. And there is no room for diplomacy in that. And there's my answer.
As you said, we're... Scott, as you said, we're on the brink of the arms race. We're in it already.
We're in it already.
Yeah. And is it possible to curb these threats, to stop these regional conflicts and to take the floor and make the world more peaceful. Is it possible to do?
Yes. How? Kill the rabid dog and then work with the United States. Look, the bottom line is nuclear weapon. This is the frustrating aspect, because I know Russia signed a joint statement with the United States, France, China, and Great Britain in January of 2022, most recently. Nuclear wars cannot be won, therefore they should never be fought. And yet today, all nuclear powers are preparing to fight a war on the belief that they can, in fact, be won. Now, did Russia change its official position? Does Russia believe today that it can fight and win a nuclear war? Then say so. Be honest about it. The same thing with the United States. We need honesty. This is where diplomacy matters. We have to get back to basics. Nuclear war cannot be won. It is impossible. Every war gaming scenario done, once you initiate a nuclear conflict, it never ends until you have a general exchange and we all die. So let's not pretend there can be a limited nuclear war. Let's not pretend that you can trade Poznan for Boston, and you know what I'm talking about when I say that. Sergei Kaganov, I respect him tremendously, but you can't trade Poznan for Boston, because once you drop nuclear weapons on one city, it will not end until all cities are destroyed. Therefore, if nuclear wars cannot be won, they cannot be fought, then there's no need for nuclear weapons, and we must have diplomacy, disarmament, to get rid of them.